Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Good to have you today. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about what Jeff was saying. I remember one time when I was in Brother John McCall's church up in Baltimore. He and I had a radio show that we did for a week. We did about 30 minutes for 5 days, and we talked about healing. And so we told everybody we were going to be there. And of course, you never know who's listening to a radio show. And so there was a man that was a Southern Baptist that had had terrible back trouble for many years, and he was in excruciating pain. And he heard us, and he heard me say, I was raised up in a Southern Baptist church. And he said, if this guy talks about healing and he's raised up in a Southern Baptist church, obviously the same Jesus that he loves is the same one I love. So he said, I was raised up in a Southern Baptist church, so I'm going to go, when he gets to John McCall's church up there, Baltimore Christian Faith Center, I'm going to go. Well, he did. He came. Of course, we didn't know who he was. Brother John, I remember that night being led by the Spirit of God. I was standing at the front with him. We were just getting ready to get started. He was fixing to introduce me as the speaker of the evening, and the Holy Spirit prompted him, there's a Baptist man here with great pain in his back. Call him up here. I want to heal him. Do we serve an awesome God?
We do.
So he spoke to Brother John McCall, and Brother John said, oh, he said, is there a Southern Baptist man here that's got back troubles that's in excruciating pain? And the guy was back over here somewhere, and he held his hand. He said, sir, come up here. So he came out, and he got in the aisle, and he's come right here. And Brother John and I touched him, just touched him in the name of Jesus. And instantly, this man's pain was completely gone. I'll never forget this man. He fell down on his hands and knees flat on the floor and began to scream, God is real. Let me tell you, how many of y'all in this room know that God is real? You know, he's real. I mean, he's awesome. He is a mighty God. He's a King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he does things, and he does things in certain ways, and some of them are mysterious ways. But that night, before we even had time to speak about faith or anything, the Lord just moved on Brother John's heart, and he had that man come up. And I'll never forget that night of seeing that man, you know, and how his back was completely healed and how he was set free. And of course, when I tell stories about backs, I always love to tell the one about Kim. Here, I see her sitting there laughing. I know what she's going to say. But the first time that they heard about me, we had church over in Dallas. And they heard I had a healing ministry. Now, they had seen some healing stuff on TV where people fall down. And that's okay, because some people do that. But she didn't like that. And so she said, I'm not going to go down to the front. In fact, that day, I will have to say, this is the only time I've ever had this happen to me. But that day at that church in Dallas, when I was speaking over there 10 years ago, I was fixing to get ready to start, just like we're fixing to start here in a minute. When the Lord said, son, now I heard a voice. He said, son, several of my people are here in great pain. I want you to call them up, and I want you to touch them in my name, and I'm going to heal every one of them. So I just stopped right there and I said, wow, the Lord just spoke to me. And he said, and of course we had a crowd about like this. And I thought, well, you know, there are probably three or four. You know, so I said, if you got pain somewhere in your body, your back or wherever, and you want to be healed, I said, just come up here. Well, man, people began to get up. I didn't realize so many people had pain in their body. But there was probably 25, wouldn't you think? Scott, you were there, of course. There was a whole bunch of them, wasn't there? And I remember as the people began to come up, and I thought, well, Lord, what do I do now? He didn't tell me what to do. So I just said, y'all come over here. And come. I said, the first one, come up here and stand right here. And I want you just to kind of relax, put your hands down by your side, and just close your eyes and just begin to praise the Lord. And I said, I'm going to start praying for you. And I said, when your pain goes away, I want you to go sit down. Well, the very first person that come up and sat there, and I laid hands on them, and they started praising the Lord. It wasn't a minute. I mean, my pain just left. And I said, well, okay, he's healed you. Go sit down. And so they left and went and sat down. And that day, before I got to the last person, we had been up there over 2 hours. That's all we did that day. You know, we had 2 hours, and everybody there got healed. And then after it was over, I didn't realize that this young lady here, her and her husband right here, they had come that day because she had had back troubles, pain in her back, but she was afraid to come down there. She's afraid I'd touch her and she'd fall down and hurt herself. We don't really understand who God is and what he does. We just really don't. So she wouldn't come down, but all of a sudden after we got through praying for everybody, she stood up to leave and realized she don't have no pain in her back.
Hallelujah.
And that's been how many years ago? About 10 years ago. And you've never had any pain in your back since, have you? And Jesus completely healed you and changed y'all's life forever, didn't it? And then I go right over there, and that couple right there, while we're talking about miracles, that couple right there, Mike, he had back trouble for years. They had started coming to our church for a while, and they heard me teaching the principles of the kingdom. And one day he was having a terrible problem with his back, and they were working, I believe, on the bathroom, texturing it or something. When he finally told his bride, he said, I can't go no more. My back's killing me. And she says, you know, Pastor Thurman told us that Matthew 18:19, Jesus said, two of us on earth. Is that the right one you used? I mean, can you imagine the scripture that Jesus put this out here for us?
Yeah.
Put this on the board, kids. Put this up here, Matthew 18:19, and look at this promise. If there's anything that's wrong with the church, it's unbelief. It's unbelief. Because God, he's the one put these through. Look, what does that say? Again, I tell you that what? If how many?
Two.
Two. How many are you two? One and two. If two of you, where?
On earth.
Were y'all on earth that day? If you agree about what?
Anything.
What did he say he would do?
Whatever
we ask. So Gracie prayed for her husband. And again, Michael, which had all that back trouble for all those years, I've heard him say it many times. When I asked him, I said, how long did it take? He said, Thurman, it took one heartbeat. Is that right, Michael? And he was completely healed. And he ain't never had no more problem with his back. Never. I'm telling you that when we get a hold of who we are, what we can do, what the issue is, the greatest thing that I've learned about getting people healed is finding their sin. You know, when we come up on scriptures that says that the curse causeless, and the curse is sickness, the curse causeless cannot come to rest. This is something that, I mean, people in the church don't want to hear the truth. When you tell them, if you're sick, you have a sin in your life, they don't like to hear that. In fact, how many of you have seen me within the last 3 months on Sid Roth? How many of you saw the Sid Roth show? Okay. When Cheryl and I was over at North Carolina, we were having dinner with Sid and his wife and some other people that night before we made the show. And Sid made a statement. He said, Thurman, I don't know how in the world you do it. He said, you lost your wife and your daughter in a terrible car accident years ago. He said, I don't understand how you do that. I just don't understand how you can keep going like you do. I said, well, Sid, when you learn that the scripture says, I am not my own. I am bought with a price. Is that right? I mean, we forget that we're bought with a price. We think we belong to me. I'm going to go do what I want to do today because I belong to me. No, you don't belong to you. You belong to the Lord. If you're a Christian, he bought you with his blood. He paid for you with his blood. Now he's got a plan for you. And he wants you to go do what he's called you to do. And if you will go do what he called you to do, you can't help but be joyful and praise his holy name. You can't ever have a bad day. When you begin to remember who you are as a son or a daughter of God, that you are a child of the King, and when you go to pray for somebody that's sick and afflicted, I mean, I showed this couple here, this is the first time they've been here, and I showed them the picture of Jenna a while ago. And some of you have not seen the picture of Jenna either because there were several hands came up about people that's been here the first time. But as you go out today, when you go out the door, when you walk out that door, look at the pictures on the wall. Big 8x10 pictures. There is a little girl there. She's 6 years old and the picture's on the right. On the ones on the left, she's about 11 or 12. We took the pictures much later of her after she got healed. But the ones on the right is when she was sick. And that little girl had eczema all over her body, all over her body. In fact, her mom and dad saw me on Sid Roth also several years ago, probably 6 or 8 years ago. Sid aired the one about my granddaughter, how I took God's promises and called my granddaughter back from the dead. And that's the first thing this lady wanted to go. She says, your granddaughter going to be here today. And I said, well, I don't think so. But she's not far away, you know, but she's here quite often. In fact, she's going to be working for us this summer. So, you know, and if y'all don't live very far away, you can come out sometime during the day, and she's going to be here because she helps us stuff, CDs and DVDs and all that stuff. She's around here all the time. But anyway, when you look at those pictures, you see this little girl, and of course, these people saw me on Sid Roth, and of course, they called, and they said, with your faith, if you raised your granddaughter from the dead. In fact, when you hear the story about when the doctor, just think if this was you. Think about you there, and let's just say, Christy, I just walk in. Let's just say your husband's been in a car wreck. And I tell you, young lady, I'm sorry, but your husband's skull is crushed in 5 places. His brain stem is severed completely. His eyes are jerked out of his brain. Every organ in his body is damaged. His right leg, his right knee is crushed, and his left leg broken right below his knee and right above his ankle. And it's impossible. He can't live. There's nothing we can do. What are you going to do? That's what we all do. We believe it. We believe it. But yet here we are, the church of the living God. Are we the church of the living God?
Amen.
Did John 15:7, let's look at John 15:7. Did Jesus put John 15:7 in the book just for me?
No.
Or did he put it in there for all of us? Look at what it says, John 15:7. But I want you to look at this. This is under the new covenant. I want you to look at the requirements, first of all. You see, the biggest word in the Bible is if. If. That's the secret. When Jeff was saying a while ago that God told us to study his word many times, he did, so that we would have this word in our heart, because he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. So let me just really be hard to get along with. Today I'm really going to be a stinker. I'm going to give y'all a notepad and give you a pen. And when you write down, I'm not going to require too many. I'm not going to expect you to be able to translate the whole Bible, but I'm just going to ask each one of you before I let you out the door today, you write down your favorite, just 100 scriptures. Just 100. That's not very many, is it?
Nope.
100 ain't nothing. I mean, how many scriptures you think the Bible might have in it? Oh, my goodness. It's got a whole lot more than 100, though, don't it? Now then, if I were to ask y'all to, you know, you'd think I was the meanest guy in town. Let's put it this way. What if you had 1,000 scriptures hidden in your heart when the guy walked up and told you, I'm sorry, but you got 1,000 or 2,000 scriptures hidden in your heart. What are you going to say then, Christy? You're going to stand on some of these promises, aren't you? So if the word is in you, and see, that's what I did with my granddaughter. When they told me all those things, you know, that was wrong with her, and it's impossible for her to live, those promises were hidden in my heart. If you abide in me. Well, now, if I spend an hour or 2 or 3 or 4 hours every day reading and studying God's word, how many of those scriptures you think are in my heart? A lot of them. A lot of them. In fact, the other day we were somewhere, I don't even remember where it was. I was talking to a couple, and as we talked about different things, he'd ask me questions, and I would answer and give him a scripture and a reference exactly where it's found. And when they got ready to go, he said, you know what my goal is? And I said, no, sir, son, I have no idea what your goal is. He said, I want to be able to have the Word of God hidden in my heart like you have. He said, so when I have a need, I want to be able to bring forth the Word like you do. Why do you think God answers my prayer like he does? Because I have the Word in my heart. I've hidden it in my heart. And I walk with him. Now then, is this just something that Thurman Scrivener can do?
No.
Who's this for, Kim?
Everybody who believes.
Everybody who believes. That's absolutely right. Because he says there, just look at this. Is this an awesome promise? Look at this. If you abide in me. Let's think about abiding a minute. If we abide in him, he literally says we can ask what we want to, and he'll do it for us. So, I think it was you, ma'am, that we were talking to when I was talking to you just a minute ago. You said that you noticed how I asked the Lord to give my baby no scars. You noticed I said that, didn't I? Because, see, some of us will say, oh, God, please just let her live. No, I don't want her just to live, brother. I want her to be a beautiful little girl. Because you know, I don't know if you got any daughters or whatever, but if you have, or if you've been got granddaughters or anything else, at least you got a wife, and I know she's going to agree with me. Little girls don't like to have scars on their faces, do they, ma'am? Even big girls don't like scars on their faces, do they? No. In fact, I will tell you something. When the Lord tells us to pray about everything with thanksgiving, yesterday I was talking to a couple, lovely couple, and I said, y'all have children, don't you? And they said, yes, we do. I said, so let's say one of them gets a finger cut, mashes it or something, and a little blood comes out. I said, what do you do? What do you do? What does everybody do?
Pray.
No, you're not normal. What does nearly everybody, even in the church, do? They go get a Band-Aid, is that right? Or if it's cut up too bad, we go to the doctor, right? But we never think about praying. You know, maybe we got a little heard scared prayer in there somewhere, but we ain't really talking to the Lord, really. Is that true? I mean, we don't call on Him. Now then, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is real and that He's there with you, and you know that He's in you, and you know the Scripture, then by having Him in you, and He said, I can ask what I will. Is that what He said? Is that what He said, Christy? So you're a beautiful young girl. You don't want wrinkles on your face, do you? No, you really don't. So let me ask you this. If God said in His word, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask me what you want to. Then if you girls have a problem with your face, why don't you ask God? Why don't you get your husband to pray over you and ask him to go to God and ask him to remove all the wrinkles on your face? Now, did he say he would do it? He said he will. So why do we spend all these thousands of dollars, you know? Okay. My wife wants me to pray right now for her face. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Okay, so that everybody knows, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm using John 15:7, and I'm literally, my wife has asked me to pray for her so she don't have a wrinkle on her face. Lord, I already thank you and praise you that she's a beautiful lady already, just the way she is. And I'm very grateful for her smooth skin, but she thinks she needs a little bit smoother skin. And you said, Father, that I could ask for anything and you'd do it. So I ask you to give my wife a perfectly smooth, beautiful face. Renew her youth like the eagles, just like Psalm says, and make her whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What happened? About your toe? Okay, Cheryl says, I'm okay to tell you a story. She said it's an awesome teaching. How many of you all know that in all over the Bible, but in 1 Peter 3, it really talks about wives submitting to your own husbands and everything. Have any of y'all read that scripture? You know, Gracie, do you believe God means exactly what He says? In other words, you mean you have to submit to that guy sitting beside you in everything? Is that what He said? So you think Jesus really means that? Okay, so obviously most people don't. You know, obviously. But I'm going to tell you, since my wife okayed me to tell this story, I'm going to tell something that happened to us just last week. This is not an old story. It's a new one. She had been over having dinner with her daughter, Christy, right here. And after she come home that night, she's telling me about she wants to go have some kind of a little filler stuff put in her little wrinkles in her bottom lip. And I said, no, honey. I said, you're beautiful. I don't want that. I don't want you. So she began to tell me big ministers' wives that had it done. And I said, honey, I'm not married to those girls. I'm only married to you. And I don't want you to do that. Now, but she's trying everything to get me to go her way. And all of a sudden, on her right foot, the middle toe just twists and pulls down like this. I mean, it turned sideways and pulled down, and she started screaming. She kicked her shoe off and said, oh, honey, oh, I got a cramp in my toe. She said, it's hurting. And she said, pray. So I said, okay, so Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take away that pain in Cheryl's toe in Jesus' name. And it got worse. And it got worse. And she said, honey. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that thing to stop cramping in Jesus' name. And it got worse. And then I said, Lord, what's wrong? And just as quiet and gentle, he said, your wife's not submitting to you. I said, honey, don't let this offend you. But the Lord just told me, you're not submitting to me. That's why your toe's cramping. She said, oh, Lord, I repent. I repent. Lord, I will not do it. I promise you I'll not have it done. And instantly her toe quit cramping. Wow. I mean, instantly. Somebody said, I've heard some people that would say, I don't believe that story at all. Let me tell you, that happened in my office with my wife and me, and she's right here. Yeah, and it did happen. And the Lord clearly told me. See, she was just lightly arguing with me. Now, have any of you girls ever done that with your husband? Probably all of you have. You know, and then, of course, you know, somebody does. Sometimes we do things and God lets us get by with it. Why did he not let me and Cheryl get by with that night? First of all, because I'm a pastor. She's a pastor's wife. And he knows that me and her both know the truth. He knows we have read these scriptures, taught them and everything else. And he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that she knows them and I know them. And he ain't going to put up with no nonsense. And so, man, that toe was the center toe. It's like somebody reached down and got it and twisted it and pulled it down. And it was hurting like crazy. And she was screaming at the top of her lungs. And I'm praying, you know, but I'm not dreaming that God done this. But he did. Because when he spoke to me, I said, Lord, why is this thing not working? My prayer's not working. He said, son, your wife is not submitting to you. And as soon as he said that, I says, honey, please don't take this as an offense. But the Lord just told me you're not submitting, and that's why your toe is cramping. And as soon as she heard me say that, man, I mean, she repented instantly as she repented and thanked the Lord for taking away that. I mean, the toe just became perfectly, instantly normal with no pain. And it never did reoccur. It never did come back. Now then, you know, when you see God's word, and you see what he says in his word. He's got some awesome promises in there for you and me, like this scripture. But he's also got scriptures in there when he says, in fact, I was reading that again this morning in 1 Peter 3. Look at this. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. Let's go to verse 2. Let's just go on down through here. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, or wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, or filling fillers in your lip. I mean, there's not anything wrong with y'all fixing yourselves up. I every once in a while, when my wife puts on some kind of new makeup or something, I tell everybody, well, my wife painted the barn this morning and it looks better. I have to say, but she knows I'm just kidding. But, you know, I will have to say, you know, when she does dress up and looks nice, I love her to look beautiful. But, you know, just like the other day when we were in the bathroom and she was getting ready to go somewhere and she held her arm up like this and she said, look at this, isn't this awful? I looked over and I said, no, I think it looks beautiful, honey. I think you look beautiful. Why? She said, look at my arm right here. I said, look at all this loose skin under here hanging down. I said, honey, that's called age. I said, that's called age. I said, I want you to, I walked over there and put my arm under there and I squeezed that little tissue that was under here. And I said, honey, I want to tell you how beautiful I think you are. I want to tell you how much I love you just like that. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I mean, if she's got a little loose skin under there, she's still my wife, and I still love her. Isn't that true? She don't have to be a 16-year-old. She ain't a 16-year-old. I'm not a 16-year-old either. You know, now, Christy, she's closer to 16. Yeah. But the thing about it is, it really is all vanity. It really is. It's all vanity. But the thing about it is, if we believe these promises, God didn't just put those promises up there so you could have a back pain healed. Did he, Mike? I mean, since you have been healed with your back, you and your lovely bride, there ain't no telling how that little incident has changed y'all's life and your willingness to pray for other people, right? I mean, you pray for people you used to never would have prayed for. But now that you've seen God heal you, y'all pray for all kinds of things, don't you? Everything. But the thing about it is, the Lord, we need to realize that when the Lord says in his word, you're to pray about everything with thanksgiving. Is that what he said?
Amen.
Just like I was telling this couple, I said yesterday, I said, if you'll become the real spiritual head of your house and it, one of your children, I think they got a couple, I said, if one of your children cuts a finger or mashes a finger or anything, I said, don't go to the medicine cabinet and get a Band-Aid. Bring them over there and pray over them. Is that right? That's what we as Christians should learn how to do. We should pray over our children and with thanksgiving and ask the Lord to do something spectacular. I mean, just like I was telling that couple yesterday, I said, you know, one day I was sitting here in my office and all of a sudden the Lord says, son, I want you to go outside. I said, Lord, what do I need to go outside for? But if the Lord speaks to you, you know, the first thing we need to do is stop arguing.
Amen.
You know, I don't know why I do that. After all these years, you'd think I would learn. So I said, okay, Lord. So I got up and I walked down the hall, walked out the front door. And when I did, there's my grandson out there and my granddaughter. They're both pushing a bicycle. And Preston, my grandson, he's just crying at the top of his lungs. I said, okay, Lord, thank you. Now I know why I'm supposed to come out here. Now, if God spoke to you and told you to go outside, does you reckon he already knew that the boy had hurt himself? Sure he did. And so he's wanting granddad to go out there and pray the prayer of faith for him because he knows I know how to do it. And so I went out there, and when I saw him crying, I went walking out there right quick, and I said, son, what happened? He said, oh, granddaddy, he said, I was riding my bicycle, and I cut too sharp, and it flipped over, and the handlebar hit me in the chest, and it hurting so bad. I said, okay. I said, the Lord wants to heal you, Preston. So I said, let me lay hands on you. So I laid on, I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for taking away Preston's pain. Thank you, Lord, it's done. He said, granddaddy, it quit hurting. Well, now, can you imagine that? God was there with me in him, was he not?
Yes,
he was. But he's there with you. When you go out there, is he there with you too?
Yes.
Sure he is. He's always there. And he's wanting you to do something in faith. And so he got up, he got on his bicycle, and he said, granddaddy, it don't hurt at all. And I said, okay. I said, so take your bicycle and go riding. So him and Caitlin jumped back on their bicycles, and they ride off. Does God want us, his children, to suffer? No, he does not want us to suffer. He gives us all these wonderful promises if we would only obey him and do what he says. Now, let's go ahead and look in here a little bit further on this. Let's go to verse 4. Let's see what verse 4. But it let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even this ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. You know, us men could listen to that too. You know, we need to learn that quiet and gentle spirit. There's not anything better than if you lose your cool, if you're the husband and something's wrong and you lose your cool and you got that sweet, loving, gentle wife that will just come over and put her arms around you and say, come on, honey, let's go in here. Let me fix you some supper or something. And you sit down and let me fix you a glass of iced tea and you'll be okay in a few minutes. And then she starts praying over you. She walks off saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to soften my husband's heart and make him more like Jesus. Take away all of his discomfort, his pain and everything. And she's making you a cup of tea or a glass of iced tea, and she's praying over you at the same time. Now, I mean, does God really hear those kind of prayers?
Yes.
So why don't we use those prayers? Why do we jump in and go to the doctor or whatever? Why is the first thing when you go outside and your little grandson's crying, he got a handlebar hitting his chest, and he got a big old red mark on there? Why is it that most of us Christians grab them up, put them in a car, and run them down to the doctor's office when we got Jesus? I can just see Jesus standing there now saying, well, I told you what to do. You wouldn't believe me. Is that what's wrong with us today? Yeah, unbelief. I mean, we don't know the promises. So when I jokingly say, okay, today I'm going to ask you to just write down your favorite 100 verses before you go home today. Some of you say, you know, well, Thurman, I'm going to be like Abraham. You know, maybe I can't do 100. How about 50? And then what did Abraham do next? Maybe, Lord, if I can't find 50 righteous, now maybe 45. And then first thing you know, we get down, Lord, if I can just find 10, if I can just write down 10. And what did the Lord say? What did he tell Abraham? Yeah, if you can just find 10. If you can find 10 righteous, I will not destroy the city for the sake of the 10. So if we get, tell me, I say, Lord, I have not studied the Word of God enough, but I do have 10, Lord. I got 10 scriptures hidden in my heart. He says, write them down for me. And you write down those 10 scriptures, and he said, oh, those are good. That's not exactly right. You missed a word or two here. That's not exactly in the right place. You got that in the wrong book. But that's okay. But I'll take it. At least you're trying. Amen. He is the most awesome, easy to get along with God you ever seen in your life. But he wants you to do something in faith and to show you how much he loves you. When, just like I say, if you cut that finger, and I've had people do this. I've had lots of them. Some of you in this church have got these kind of stories. You cut your finger, or one of your children cut their finger or whatever, and you, the daddy is called over, and he goes and prays over it, and the pain goes away instantly. And 10 or 15 minutes later, the son came back and said, Dad, this is the finger that you prayed over had a cut on it. It was a quarter of an inch long. But, Dad, it ain't there no more. Amen. It's healed completely up. We see those kind of things, don't we? Yeah, I know Scott and Kim. They got three children, and they do that all the time with their children. And they see God answer. Why is it we don't believe these promises? Look at this. Let's go a little further on the husband and wife thing, since we really got into that today. I didn't know my wife was going to give me the approval to tell that story, but usually if I tell a story like that, she says, how dare you tell a story like that of me? But it was a good story, and it was really true, and it really did work. But look at, the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now, if any time you find something that's of great price to God, should you latch on to it? Yes, you should absolutely do it. If that gentle, quiet spirit in the sight of God is wonderful, then, and after this manner, in the old times, the holy women also, which trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Let's look at verse 6 and let's see what it says. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Okay, girls, it's time to, when's the last time that you looked at your husband when he told you to do something and you really didn't want to do it? And you said, yes, my Lord, I'll go do it. I mean, now, am I stretching? Is that what the Word of God says? Kim? Is that what it says? But just think. The Scripture says the women of old called their husbands. They obeyed their husbands. And with that quiet, gentle spirit, and even called their husbands Lord. I told a woman one time, it's been several years ago, I had been teaching on this, and this woman came up for prayer, and I told her, I said, in fact, I take that back, she didn't come up for prayer. It was in a Sunday school class I was teaching at a Baptist church. But this woman, she says, I want you to pray for my husband. I said, well, what's wrong with your husband? And she said, he will not obey what I tell him to do. I said, well, ma'am, I said, really, that's not the way it's supposed to work. I said, so what does he not do that you don't like? And she said, well, he doesn't love me anymore. I said, ma'am, how old are you? And she said, I think she was 65. And her husband was like 68 or something like that. And I said, what makes you think your husband doesn't love you anymore? I said, how many years y'all been married? And, well, you know, back when they were 21, 22, they got married, so they've been married all their life. I said, so what makes you think your husband doesn't love you? She said, he never tells me he loves me. I said, ma'am, that's just men. I mean, the average man, if he's not really not in the Word of God, I said, let me tell you how your husband tells you he loves you. She said, how? I said, does he provide you a really nice home to live in all these years? Oh, yeah, he provided us with a nice home. I said, does he provide you with a nice car to drive? Oh, yeah, I have a real, not only two-year-old, nice car. I said, so you think that because he doesn't tell you that he loves you, he doesn't love you? She said, well, he doesn't tell me. I said, ma'am, that's his way of telling you that he loves you. When he bought you the nice house, when he bought you the nice car and keeps everything running around the house for you, he's telling you how much he loves you. I said, you're not getting it. I said, because that's not the way women work. Women want to hear it. Women want they want to walk up, and they want the guy to walk up and say, ooh, you're gorgeous today. I sure do love you. That's what they want to hear. Is that right, Christy? Sure, she's married too. Of course, she knows she's got a sweet husband. But men are not made like women. And if men are not taught these principles, they don't know. So anyway, I told this lady, I said, ma'am, I want you to go home tonight. And I said, when you get home, I said, I see your husband didn't come to Bible study with you. Oh, no, he never goes to church with me, hardly ever. I said, okay. So I said, when you get home tonight, where will he be? Oh, she said, he'll be sitting down there in front. When I get home, said he'd be sitting down there watching the football game on the TV. I said, okay. I said, I want you to walk in. I want you to walk right up in front of him, between him and the TV, and say, honey, would you please stand up just a minute? And he said, well, I can't see the football game. I said, honey, please stand up. And so then I reached down if you have to and take him by the hands and, hey, okay, I'm up. I said, he's going to be watching the football game. I said, I want you just to put your arms around him, and I want you just to kiss him like you hadn't kissed him in 20 years. I mean, just really plant one on him. And I said, if that don't knock him down, you have to pick him up. Then say to him, honey, I just want to tell you how much I love you. How thankful I am for this nice house that you've provided me, the nice car you provide. I just want to tell you, thank you. I love you with all my heart. She said, well, I certainly hadn't done that in a long time. I said, well, that's why y'all are where you are. So anyway, a couple of weeks later, she come back to me and she says, don't ever stop teaching what you teach. I said, what happened? She said, I went home that night and did what you said. And said, when my husband stood up and I kissed him and told him how much I loved him for what he had done, he said he totally lost interest in the football game. He said he just sat there and hugged me for a few minutes and cried a little bit and everything. And I thought, wow, she really got through to him. But anyway, she said, I kept doing this. That night, after I did what I did, after we sat there and hugged a little while, I said, and honey, what do you want for dinner tonight? I'm going to fix your favorite meal, whatever you want. Oh, no, it's too much trouble. No, whatever you want, I'm going to fix it for you. So he said, well, I sure would like to have some of this. And so she said, no problem. So she said, I fixed his favorite dinner for him. She said, a couple of weeks later was Valentine's Day. She said, I come in one afternoon, and there was a beautiful card on the table. It wasn't signed, you know, just a card. And said, I pick it up, and I open it, and said, I read it, and it was a very nice card about Valentine, about you being my Valentine. She said, when I saw that, I thought, he has not bought me a Valentine's card in 30 years, or 40 years, whatever, a long, long time. So she said, I thought, that couldn't be my husband. There ain't no way he could have done that. So I said, honey, is this card on the table here from one of the boys or is it from you? He said, it's from me. She said, you mean you put this card here after all these years? I can't believe you done this. I said, woman. I said, if you ever messed up, I said, if you wasn't a woman, I'd slap you in the face. She said, well, what did I do wrong? I said, you should have said, honey, thank you. I love you for this. She said, well, Thurman, I'm having to learn too. So anyway, a few Sundays later, the woman come to church. And boy, I mean, she was on fire. I mean, she was talking about how much said, my husband has told me on regular, he said, I can't believe how many times in the last few weeks since I started coming over here that my husband has told me, he starts to leave to go to work or something, he said, honey, I love you. She said, you have no idea what that means to me. Said, he never did that before. See, I told you, I said, somebody's got to break the ice. Somebody's got to start the love walk. And I said, you were doing it. You were holding back. He was holding back. Nobody done anything. You two would have walked to your death, and neither one of you would have ever told the other one you love you because nobody wants to step out first and do something first. So anyway, she says, I have been doing everything I can to walk in obedience to God's word. She said, God has become a whole lot more real to me. And she reached up on her neck, and she had a real pretty little cross, kind of a little golden chain, and she had a big old black mole right there. And the chain was laying over the black mole. She's flipping it over, and I said, does that bother you? She said, of course it bothers me. She said, I've thought about going to the doctor and having it taken off, but I'm afraid what might happen. I said, have you prayed about this? No, I have not. I said, you know, you're studying the Word. You're learning some of these promises. You're submitting to your husband. I said, you're walking in obedience to God's Word. I said, why don't we just take that scripture in Matthew 18:19, where the Lord said, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything, I'll do it for you. I said, since you're walking in obedience, you're walking in love now, and your husband and you's getting along good, I said, I believe God will hear your prayer. If I agree with you, the two of us. And so she said, you really think God would take that thing off my neck? Said, what did he say he would do?
Anything.
What did he say?
Anything.
So what do we not understand about anything? You understand?
Yeah.
So we prayed. I said, now then, I want you to go and just begin to praise the Master and thank him for taking that black mold off of your neck. I said, praise him. She said, well, how many times do I have to tell him? I said, just keep telling him. I said, even after it comes off, don't stop. The next Sunday, she walked in my Sunday school class and said, Thurman, look, it ain't there. She pulled her dress back a little bit. I could see where it's gone. It wasn't even a mark or nothing. I said, now, how many years had you had that? And she told me how many years that thing had been there, how much it had bothered her and all this stuff. And all the time, all these promises are in the book. Just like with you, Mike. That promises had been in the book for 2,000 years, and you suffered with that back for years, right?
Amen.
But after you and Gracie decided to use the Word of God like it's written, no more back troubles. Isn't that amazing? Now, who do you think God put all those promises in the book for? Who are they in there for? Okay, they're in, you missed it. They're in there for His obedient children. Think about that. If you offer something to your children, and they're the meanest little stinkers you've ever seen, you might not give them what you said you'd give them unless it was a spanking, right? Y'all understand where I'm coming from? The Scripture says the Lord gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey. He doesn't just give it to everybody. You got to obey Him. And just like He's right here, when you look at this Scripture, think about this. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now then, my question. How many of you daughters, now first I want you to know, you all, I'm sure all of you girls in here are believers in Jesus. If you're believers in Jesus, you're a daughter of the King. Is that right? And so God is your husband's father-in-law. You ever thought about it like that? He's your father-in-law. So you better be good to your father-in-law. There might be an estate or something that you get handed down one day, and you might want part of it. And he, you know, there might be an inheritance that he's going to pass down to us. You know that? And I got a feeling it's really going to happen. But if you're not walking in obedience to his word, you're not doing what he says. And for you ladies that have never done this, I won't ask you to hold up your hand, but I just want you to think about this. Like I said, I'm going to ask a question, but don't answer, okay? Don't answer. How many of you ladies, like I say, don't answer, have ever walked up to your husband, put your arms around him, when he said something that he asked you to do that you didn't want to do, and put your arms around him and kiss him and tell him how much you love me and say, yes, Lord, I will do it for you. How many of you, now, like I say, don't answer, but I want you to think about this. Is that what the Lord told you to do? Is that the way he told you to treat your husband? Yes, it is. Now then, how many of you have ever done that? Probably, maybe very few of you, maybe none of you, but I hope some of you have. I will have to say that after we got married, Cheryl had learned, you know, of course, mine and Cheryl's marriage was supernatural all the way through. She hadn't been married in 24 years. I hadn't been married in 3 years. My wife got killed in a car wreck, and I was not going to get married ever again. And she said, I ain't marrying nobody unless God lets you send them to me. She said, I'm sick of men. I'm tired and fed up with men. And I just ain't going to do nothing. I'm just going to just, she said, God, it's just you, me, and the dog. Well, I said, Lord, just you, me, and the ministry, because I ain't going to go nowhere. Nobody just teach the word of God. And I guess my life with a woman is over. But Cheryl prayed a prayer and she put a list. She said, Lord, if you have a man out there for me, this is what I want. She laid it out point by point. This is what I want in a man. So I said, Lord, if you have a woman for me, I don't know who she is. I ain't going to go look for her. But if you have a lady for me to be married to one day, you will have to speak to me audibly and tell me what her name is and tell me to marry her, or I ain't marrying nobody. I don't want to get the wrong one. You know, I've had lots of women come to me and say, Pastor, I want to marry John Doe. And I said, well, have you asked the Lord? Well, yeah, I did. What did he say? He said, he's the wrong one, but I'm going to marry him anyway. You have no idea how many women have told me that. And I said, my goodness, honey, if the Lord told you he's the wrong one, you do not want to marry him. And I've had some of them that married him anyway, and then in 3 to 6 months later, they're back knocking on my door. Oh, my goodness gracious, I jumped from the frying pan into the fire. This man's the worst, meanest man I ever seen, but yet he went to church with me and said he's a Christian. But God told her, don't marry him. And that happened several times. But when you ask the Lord what to do, and he tells you, you want to do what he said. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you have a lady for me, you'll have to bring her to me and you'll have to tell me what that she's going to be my mate. Otherwise, I ain't going to marry. And my own son asked me that question. And I said, no, son, I'm not dating. I'm not looking around for a wife. It's just going to be me and God in the ministry. And he said, Dad, under no conditions. He said, you're a young man. This was 10 years, 11 years ago. And he said, son, Dad, you're a young man. Under no conditions would you get married. I said, well, son, when you work for God, you can't never say never, because you don't know what his plan is. And his plan might not be the same as mine. Do y'all realize that? Yeah. God has a perfect plan for your life, and he wants to do it his way, not yours. And so I went to bed one night, and of course not knowing that Cheryl went to bed that night. And during the night, she had a dream or a vision or something, and she saw herself married to me in that vision or dream, whatever it was. And so the next morning, when I woke up, I'll tell you this in detail. The next morning, when I woke up about 6 o'clock, I was laying flat on my back, and I turned over on my left side. And when I turned over, I throwed my hand like this, kind of. And when I did, this hand lay right here in the curve of a woman's body. I felt it. I opened my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, this beautiful woman was laying in my bed, stomach to stomach with me. Her face was about that far. She had a big smile on her face. And I'm telling you what, that so startled me that I jumped out of the bed like a rocket. You know, I jumped out of the bed and I hit the floor and I looked back down there, and then praise God, there was nothing there. Because, you know, if there's anything a pastor don't want, he don't want to go to bed one night by himself, wake up the next morning with a woman in bed he ain't married to, that's for sure. So anyway, when I jumped up and looked back down there and there was nothing there, I asked the Lord this question. I said, Lord, Cheryl had been coming to my church. She'd got healed a couple of years before. And she come every Sunday. She got healed of some incurable diseases too. And so I said, Lord, what was Cheryl doing in my bed? And he said, just as clear, he said, son, Cheryl's going to be your wife. Now, what do you do with that? If God told you Cheryl's going to be my wife, well, that's Tuesday, Bible study. So I went to Dallas and we had a Bible study class for a couple of hours. And then we started to go home and I turned and looked, and there she stood. And she hadn't been there that night. But she's standing. I said, oh, Cheryl, I didn't see you tonight. She said, I wasn't here, but I've been out ministering to a lady. But she said, I got to talk to you tonight before you go home. I said, well, okay. I said, would you like to work for me? And she said, I would like to work for you. I said, well, okay. I said, so we're fixing to close the building, and I don't want to be in the building, just me and you, with the doors closed. It don't look good. So I said, William's fixing to lock up, and when he does, I said, me and you need to be on the outside. So I said, once you get in your car, I'll get in mine, we'll drive up to IHOP or something, a restaurant, and I'll buy you a cup of tea, and we'll talk about working for me. So we did. We drove up there. Had to drive all the way to Louisville from North Dallas to find one open. Anyway, we got up there at that IHOP there at Main Street in Louisville, and we go in. We're sitting there drinking a cup of hot tea, and it's about 12 o'clock. And I said, Cheryl, why do you want to work for me? I said, did you have a word from the Lord about working for me? And she said, I did. And I said, well, what did he say? And she said, oh, Pastor, it was too personal. I can't tell you. It would offend you. I said, no. I said, if the Lord told you something about working for me, I want to know what he said. She said, well, last night I had this dream, and said, I wasn't just working for you, I was married to you. I said, well, this morning when I woke up, God spoke to me audibly and told me you were going to be my wife. So I said, how would you like to come to work for me as my full-time helpmate? And she reached across the table and took my hands and said, I would love it. So then we sat there and talked for another 3 hours. And then we got up to go outside to go home. It's by 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning now because that IHOP there open all night. As we're walking across the parking lot, she's thinking to herself, did he ask me to marry him? Did I just agree to a marriage? What did I do? So anyway, we get out there and I open her car and she starts to get in the car and I said, Cheryl, I said, now that you've agreed to marry me, would it be okay if I give you a goodnight kiss before you get in the car? And she reached up and grabbed me and hugged me and embraced me and God lit a fire. And that fire has been burning ever since. Amen. I look over there at her daughter and she's thinking she's going to have to take care of Mama. She's so glad Mama found somebody to take care of. Is God good, Christy? He's very good. Yeah, he's very good. You know, with serving the Lord and loving him and praising him and watching him heal his people and do the miracles he does, I now realize that God is such an awesome God. And he wants to do wonderful things for his children. I mean, for all of us. But he can't do it if you don't pray. If you don't come to him, if you don't obey his rules, just like the women. I mean, Cheryl doesn't even know this, but she allowed me to tell the other story. I'm going to tell this one. And nobody knows this one but me and God. Nobody. Just a few weeks ago, we went up to town to have something to eat. As we're getting ready to leave to come home, she said, honey, stop by the furniture store. I said, what are you going to buy? She said, I promise not to buy nothing. I'll just look. I said, okay. So we pull in and park, and we go in there, and she buys a cross and a table, you know. And within an hour, she's got an upset stomach. Her stomach is all upset. And she's asking me to pray over it. And I pray over it, and I pray over it, and I pray over it, and nothing gets any better. Later that night, after I prayed over 4 or 5 times, usually God answers my prayer. I said, Lord, what is wrong? Why you won't answer my prayer for my wife? He said, your wife is disobedient. He said, she didn't submit to you. She lied to you. I hate liars. She said she would not buy anything. She bought a cross and a table. So he said she's going to have to suffer the consequences till tomorrow, and then I'll heal her. And so I prayed. I prayed for her several times. And the next day, the pain finally went away. But see, she doesn't even know today. This is the first time. I never told this to nobody. But he told me clearly that she lied to me. Now then, how many times does a husband and a wife do something like that and not think there will be any consequence? You see where I'm coming from? But God made you a promise. Go to the next verse, verse 7. Let's see this, verse 7. Likewise, you husbands. Okay, now we got something here for us guys. You husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Okay, if you're dwelling with your wife according to knowledge, if you've been to no kind of marriage counseling or marriage seminars, you hadn't read any books on how husbands and wives get along. Husbands, you don't know how your wife works. And you go by yourself, you think she works like you do, and she's totally different than you. She does not do things like you do. She does not. She is totally different. She wants to hear you tell her how beautiful she is and how much you love her. That's what she wants to hear. I mean, you can go the rest of your life. If your wife never tells you that you're handsome or whatever, you can go the rest of your life. It won't ever bother you a bit. But she can't do it. But he has to have respect. If a wife does not respect her husband, it will put a wedge between her and him that's unbelievable. They have to respect. Like, for instance, the wife calls the husband at 10 o'clock in the morning and said, the bathroom, the stool in our master bedroom is running all the time. It won't stop running. He says, there's a valve down by the floor. Just turn the valve off and that'll stop it. And I'll get a new valve to fix it this afternoon when I come home from work. Okay. So she goes in there and turns the faucet and it quits running. So that afternoon at 6 o'clock, when he comes home with a sack full of goodies from Home Depot and he's headed to the bathroom and he's not a plumber. but he's going to fix the bathroom. And so he's got what he thinks it's going to take, and he walks in there, and she's got three of her girlfriends over there having tea. And she said, "What do you got in the sack?" He said, "That's the parts to fix the toilet in the bathroom." She said, "You might as well have called a plumber. You know you're not a plumber. You know you can't fix that." She just cut him down like a machete. And now then she wonders, when he's lost his drive and he goes there and can't fix it, and he does have to call a plumber, and then she badmouths him, "Because I told you you couldn't fix that. You know you're not a plumber." He may be the best person in finance that's on the block. He'd be making her six-figure income. But she just cut him down, and next time she wants something, don't go ask her husband, because I guarantee he ain't going to give it to you. That's the way it works. But women don't understand that. Women have to learn that they have to respect their husband. You have to respect him. If you want him to love you and to do wonderful things for you, you've got to do exactly what God says. You know, and if we do what God says, and of course, just like he said here for husbands, he said, "Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." You need to learn something about women, because they're not like you are, as we all know. "Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So many men that do not do what God tells them, that does not love their wife like Christ loved the church, when they do not do that, God the Father, which either releases your prayer or answers your prayer, says no. You need to get right with your wife. In fact, Cheryl knows this. This happened to me and her a long time ago, several years ago. It seems so insignificant. But I'm praying for her for something, and I can't get my prayer answered. And so I pray for her for 2 or 3 days, and it seems like nothing I pray for happens. And finally, I went to the Lord and said, "Okay, Lord, I give up. What did I do wrong? Why are you not answering my prayer?" He said, "You lied to your wife." I said, "Lord, I didn't lie to Cheryl." He said, "Yes, you did." He said, "Yesterday morning, or day before yesterday, whatever it was," he said, "your wife got up about 10 o'clock and she asked you, 'Have you had anything to eat today?'" I thought a minute. I said, "Yeah, that's exactly what she said. Have you had anything to eat today?" And I says, "Oh." I said, "No. But Lord, I thought she said, 'Have you had anything to eat for lunch?'" He said, No, that's not what you said. She asked you, "Have you had anything to eat today?" And you think, she said, "Have you had anything to eat for lunch?" And you told her no. You told her no. He said, "You lied to her." I said, "Lord, I didn't lie to her." He said, "Yes, you did. When she said, 'Have you had anything to eat today?' and you say, 'No, that's a lie. You had breakfast.'" But I said, "Lord, I thought she said lunch." She said, "That's not what she said." Do you think God would really hold you that close? But he would not answer my prayer. So I went to Cheryl and I said, "Honey, you may not even remember this, honey. You still remember it?" I went to her and told her, I said, "Honey, I'm so sorry. Yesterday or day before yesterday, whenever it was, when you asked me, had I had anything to eat? And I says, 'No.' I said, 'God reminded me that I lied to you. I had something to eat for breakfast. I hadn't had anything for lunch or later. But I said, please forgive me for lying to you.'" And she said, "It's no problem." I said, "Yeah, it is a problem. I can't get my prayer answered." So she said, "Okay, I forgive you." Now see, to her, it was so insignificant, it didn't mean nothing. But to God, it's a lie. And he would not answer my prayer. Have we read anywhere in the scripture where God said he hates lying? Does he really hate lying? Then why do we lie? Maybe you do. Maybe you're like I am. I didn't realize I was lying until the Lord told me. I thought that was so insignificant. No. Have I had anything to eat today? No. But you did. I had breakfast. And God said that was lying. Was I lying? Sure I was. But to me, was it lying? No. But did it cut me off? Absolutely. I could not get a prayer answered. Now look what he says here. When he says, if you don't, if husbands don't love your wives according to knowledge and do all these things, he says, your prayers will be hindered. So, if we don't do what God says, when we learn that he means what he says, in fact, let me take you to, I think it's Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Let's go to 2, 1 and 2 and see if that's where, I think that's where. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Okay, yeah, that's the one I want right there. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Put that in the NLT. Put that verse, Hebrews 2, 1 or 2. Put that in the NLT, please. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm. And every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. You know, that's kind of scary. When you read a scripture like that one and you really meditate on that for a little while, you begin to understand why we have the problems we have. Why we have stomach problems, why we have pains. If every act of disobedience to the law is punished, then what do you get by with?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's absolutely right. Nothing. So we're sitting here, God is showing us things, just like today when Cheryl wanted me to tell that little story about me and her. I will have to say, since me and her both lived through that and saw that, you know, when I saw that happen the other night, when the Lord spoke to me and told me that my wife was not submitting to me, and I told her, and she repented immediately, and her toe was instantly freed, no more pain. I told that to a man of God. I told this man of God, great man of God, and he was there with his wife just a couple days after this happened. And when I told him what the Lord did to Cheryl's foot, her toe, by twisting it and pulling it down, when I got through telling him the story that every act of disobedience is judged, I saw this great man of God fall out of his chair on his knees beside his wife and say, "Honey, will you forgive me?" Why would he do that? Because all of a sudden, if the word of God is true and I don't repent, guess what's coming for me? Did he say, how did he say that? Let's read that again. Let me look at that so I don't make a mistake. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm. And almost every violation, that's not what it said, was it? And every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. I don't know about you, but I don't like punishment. I'd much rather walk in love and do what God says. And when you do, I will have to say, He is a mighty God. He's a merciful God. And He gives us time. Just like this scripture in John 15, 2, I saw a man die that I'd been praying for. And after I prayed for him for 4 hours, and he died anyway. And after he died, I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, why did this man die? I have prayed for him and prayed for him and prayed for him. I spent 4 hours praying over him, anointing him with oil. And I said, Lord, why did this man die?" He said, "Son, your answer is in John 15, 2. So I went to John 15, 2. And when we go to John 15, 2, it says, "Every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off." And of course, so you'll know the story, but since we're talking about husbands and wives some today, when I went to the place to pray over him, I met this woman, and she told me she was his wife. And I said, "Well, I knew his first two wives." I said, "Are you number three?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, he's a good man." I said, "He's a Sunday school teacher and a youth leader and all kinds of stuff." And she said, "Yes," but said, we got married. We've been married 10 years and said, "We've only been to church 4, 5, 6 times in the 10 years we've been married." And I told her, I said, "Ma'am, you know, the Word of God clearly says we're to go to church. I mean, you're not to forsake the assembling of yourself together. You're to go to church as a son or daughter of God." "I don't believe that," she said. I said, "Well, it doesn't make any difference what you believe if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing we have, and we have to obey it rather than man." And so she said, "Well, we just stopped going to church." So anyway, I prayed over this man for he had brain tumors, and he died within 3 or 4 days after I prayed over him. And when I asked the Lord what was wrong, he told me this was the problem. He said this man had stopped producing fruit. In other words, John 15, 2 clearly says, how many branches? How many does that include? All? Every? Is that what that says? Okay. If I was here today and I saw this and it says every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off. If I hadn't been producing fruit for the kingdom of God in the last year or two or three, I believe I'd change what I'm doing. I would go to work. I'd start doing something for the kingdom of God. Now, God's merciful. I mean, just like this man. He gave this man 10 years to get back in line. He got out of church for 10 years. He'd been a youth leader, a Sunday school teacher, and everything. And then this woman came along and he married her, and she got him out of church. And when I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, it wasn't his fault. It was that woman. She's the one, you know, that got him out of church. The Lord spoke to me again and says, I didn't put that woman in charge of the home. I put him in charge of the home. He's the one disobeyed me, so he's the one got cut off. That's kind of scary. So when you learn that, you learn why so many men are sick. And if they haven't gone past and committed a sin unto death, then you can pray for them and God will hear. But unless he tells you that they've committed a sin unto death, you don't know. We don't know. We have to be led by the Spirit. So if I don't know that he has committed the sin unto death, then I'm going to pray for you because I want you to be healed. I want you to have several more good years. I want you to live out that at least 70 to 80 or 90 years. I don't want you to die at 40 or 50 like this man was 55. And he died because he had not put God first for the last 10 years. So when we do what God says, it works a whole lot better. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more fruit. So if you're a child of God, I would challenge you to read the Word of God. Just like 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study my word to show yourself approved unto God. If you're a child of God and you want to see God do some wonderful things, and let me ask this question, I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you would like to get to a place with God where that every time you prayed, he heard your prayer and answered it? Amen. Oh my goodness, we all could answer that, can't we? Me included. I love it when I see God answer my prayer. And my wife loves it too. And of course, her daughter loves it because she calls mama all the time and has mama pray over things because she knows where to find the answer, don't you, Christy? You know that when you mix your faith with mama's, you know you'll get your answer all the time, or at least a lot of the times they do. I get so tickled when I get through Cheryl. I said, who was that on the phone? Oh, that's my daughter. I said, what'd she want? She said, want me to pray for somebody. I said, that girl's smart. She knows where to go to get her prayers answered. She goes to the Lord because she knows mama has hidden a lot of that word in her heart. Has she not? A whole lot more than you have, right? Yeah, way more than you have. So that's why she comes to Cheryl, her mama, to get her prayers answered. Now then, if we want our prayer answered every time, and I think everybody held up their hand, I know I held up both of mine because I definitely want to see my prayer answered. To do that, you got to walk in obedience to his word. You got to purify yourselves from evil. And you got to do what the Lord says in his word. Now then, if you do that, then he will just bless you and do great things. If you're not a believer, well, then we'd like for you to get with one of our prayer team. And we'd like to lead you to Christ because we don't want anybody to go away that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He is a mighty God. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And he is the only way to heaven. There's no other way. I don't care what anybody tells you. You can't get to heaven down any other trail, only by Jesus Christ. Lots of people listen to us online, and we have testimonies come back in every day of people that have done what God says in his word from our teaching, and they get delivered. Healing school here a while back, there was a young lady back there toward the back, and I walked up shaking hands with everybody, and she turned around and grabbed me and kissed me on the cheek, and she said, Pastor, I want to tell you how much I love you. And I said, well, honey, I don't believe I even know your name. I said, you know, what's going on? And her husband walked up about that time. He said, let me tell you what's wrong with her. I said, what's that? He said, well, I found out about your teaching, and I brought some of them home. And I said, honey, we've got to listen to this guy with me. I really like him. And so he said, she listened about 15 minutes and said, she said, yeah, I'll agree. I like what he has to say. But he said, then you stepped on her pet sin. And she says, turn him off. I don't want to hear that. He don't know what he's talking about. Turn that off. So he said, I went in the other room and turned it up where she could hear it through the wall. He said, finally, I told her one day after we'd listened to several, she fussed all the time. He said, I told her, said, honey, you know he's right. You know he's right. That's your pet sin and you don't want to give it up. But he said, I will guarantee you that since I now have listened to him, I know that if you'll repent of that sin and let me pray for you, I guarantee you God will heal you. So she said, okay, I repent. I won't never do that again. And he said, I prayed for my wife and said she got instantly healed right there. So he said, that's why we're here today to a healing school. And then she reached over one more time, kissed me on the cheeks. He said, now you know why I love you, don't you? I said, yes, honey, I'm grateful. I said, the reason you love me is because of Jesus that's in me. You see him. He healed you. And that's why you love me. And she said, well, yeah, that's true. But I do love you, Pastor. I said, okay, well, I love everybody. And that's the only commandment God gave us under the new covenant, right? To love him with all our heart, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. Now then, Lord, we come to you. You paid for our healing. By your stripes, we were healed. If we will get rid of all sin and do what you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we don't have to be sick no more. You paid the price for our sin and our sickness. In Jesus' name, amen.